Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
You know, I know LeBron wasn't playing last night, Judd, but because the Wolves are back at the top of the NBA standings this morning, I think it warrants getting the flag.
Towel?
Let's go. What direction is this?
Yep. Nope. Now, yep. Yep. Now you're on the right track. Yep.
Right,
yep. Wave the towel. Wave that towel. Yep. Target center.
They would have won even if LeBron was there.
My moles do tell me that there are discussions about taking the tarps off the sections in the second deck.
Now, when you say that, do you mean, because tarps off could mean a couple of things. Does that mean like everyone's going to take their shirts off? Or
Nope. I'm talking about opening up the seating that the NBA has allowed teams like the Wolves to cover and then declare sellouts, despite the fact that those seats are not available.
Yeah.
But the issue is, and this makes sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense, but it makes sense now. There are 8,000 seats downstairs at that place and 10,000 seats upstairs. Unfortunately, when they built it, they didn't build a requisite amount of bathrooms or kitchen space for concessions to accommodate 10,000 people upstairs. So if do this, there's going to be longer lines and there's going to be more complaints.
You know, I feel like fans, I think I welcome these problems. Like, isn't this kind of the first time in 20 years that we've had to deal with any type of problems like this?
Oh, 100%.
That, Target Center is going to be too full and too packed.
They took that off for the playoffs, right? I want to say they have sold those seats. So it's very doable. But I'm saying that the demand now is so high on a nightly basis that I think you can justify probably opening it back up. And yes, there might be some lines, there might be some problems there, but you're right. It's a great problem. And it's fun to see the excitement. It's great to see
it. I wasn't there last night, but we were getting dinner with some friends and had the game on. We were actually over in West End area and we had the game on and we're just watching. And man, you can just, the atmosphere, like I love, it's funny, ironically, D'Lo is the one that started by kind of complaining about these quiet ass fans. Right. And he kind of started the trend of, okay, we'll take that criticism, stand up until the first bucket. And so last night, you know, 10 seconds of the game, Mike Conley wide open in the corner, the replacement for D'Lo just cashes a three and the crowd goes crazy right away.
That actually might be D'Angelo's greatest, the greatest thing he brought here.
His best contribution. Was helping the atmosphere inside, because we didn't really, you know, like the Kings had the cowbells for a long time, and there's all these teams have traditions, and for like pretty much 20 years, we just kind of showed up and would watch the game, and it brings people together. Well, Yeah, that's true too. Nobody for a long time. I do have an important question for you, and then three Wolves takes here on Flagrant Howls after we shout out our friends at Popped Corn. So Craig Kilborn made another appearance on Flagrant Howls this week. If you guys haven't checked that out, you can find it on the Flagrant Howls podcast feed, scoring on the YouTube channel. And we were in the middle of talking about popcorn, 80 flavors of small batch popcorn to make your holiday gift giving pop. Probably a little bit late on that right now, but you know, you can send a gift and apologize for being late. And he was like, wait a second, white cheddar, garlic, Parmesan. So we sent a little popcorn with a Timberwolves tin over to Hollywood, Los Angeles for Kilby. He's a big fan of popcorn, but 80 flavors. You got sweet flavors like s'more, caramel, the baseball mix. You got savory flavors like mac and cheese, dill pickle, Parmesan garlic, popped corn and tins, Vikings tins, Gophers, Twins, Wild, Wolves. Order online at poppedcorn.com. That's poppedcorn.com. Here's my first question for you, Judd, the OG Timberwolves guy here on Flagrant Howls. Are we ready mentally, emotionally, physically for a deep Wolves playoff run in 5 or 6 months from now?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say that. So right now it's a little bit hard to get used to this team not just being good, but being really good. One of the best teams, if not the best team in the entire NBA, which sounds stupid, but it's true. But I will say my experience, and you don't have as much as I do with this because it's been so long for the most part. My experience is we are great with playoff runs. Nobody rallies. And look, I mean, it's not hard. The team is good. It's fun. But I think we are. And I'll point to, you know, when the Twins, now those playoff runs were different because they were American League Championship Series, World Series. But I'll point to those two championships when this town was electric and it was great fun and the Metrodome was absolutely hopping and you couldn't hear a damn thing. Mm-hmm. I'll point to the 91 North Stars run to the Stanley Cup Finals, a not good team that somehow miraculously made this long run, and it crescendoed. It got better and better and better. So I think that we are more than prepared, and it's long overdue for an actual playoff run. I mean, the last one was the Wolves going to the Western Conference Finals, which had been preceded a year, I think, before by the Wild going to the Western Conference Finals. But as weird as it's going to seem, I think the season of success here, and assuming it continues, not to jinx it, knock on wood, I think the season of success is serving as a very good appetizer to remind us what this will look like, what this will feel like, what this will be like. And I would argue that Timberwolves fans, if it, indeed there is a playoff run that's long, will play a key role because the way that arena is electric right now and absolutely hopping will only progress as the spring grows. I think downtown will be a lot of fun, which, you know, has not been the case necessarily consistently. I think the Twins' playoff success against the Blue Jays served as a really cool reminder of what it's like when you just give us a morsel, because that was a morsel.
It was
when
like a week and a half, right?
Yeah.
It was
breadcrumb. It was a damn breadcrumb. Yeah. But I mean,
it felt like a long time because they literally haven't given you more than like three games in a sweep in 20 years.
And we ran with it, but like, it was fun. And like the fans, I give them credit. They were awesome. I think that the playoff run, actually, we are prepared, as weird as that seems to say about Timberwolves.
I think so too. I think it is crazy to think, because the last couple of weeks we've made references and had fun with, like, you're the only one here between me, Kyle, Declan, that remembers the first Wolves season in 1989 and watching, games at the Metrodome before Target Center was even ready. If you start there and go all the way through, we've only had one actual playoff run. And yeah. I think a run is you win a series and get to the next round. I mean, that's like the lowest bar for a run, because the only one year they've won playoff series. And this year at this point, like, if the playoff started right now and the play-in, so you'd have the play-in teams, you know, the Wolves would, I'm trying to think here. So it would be the 7-8 Pelicans would play the Rockets right now in a play-in. And then whoever wins that is the 7 seed. And then Lakers Suns would play each other. I think Suns would probably win that game. And then the Suns would probably beat the Rockets. So you'd play the Suns, I think, right now in a first round playoff series. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? And by the way, I wouldn't want that draw in the first round. I don't think they're going to be sitting there in 4 months from now, but you'd sure. have a raucous target center, best team in Timberwolves history regular season, or second best if you want to concede to the 03-04 team. And you'd have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, it'd be tested.
I mean, it would be assuming so health, much right. fun. It would be.
Absolutely.
It'd be such a blast. And well, I don't know, man.
And the one thing that's changed too, from you know, all those playoff runs is this. Wolves fans would find their way into the Suns arena too. The traveling dynamic has really changed, which is awesome, which is cool. But you know, between the Snowbirds who live in that area of the country now, and just fans who are traveling, because there seems to be, you know, the Vikings are the poster child, but there seems to be a lot more of that. Yeah, I think it'd be fantastic. And you know, playoff runs, and I consider a real playoff run to probably be a conference final, because like the Wilds made the second round a few times, and I mean we've done our show a couple of times that they've made it, and it's a lot of fun, but it's still a sort of an abrupt end, it feels like. Conference finals is another rare air. I think that this fan base and just what they're showing now, like look at the success that this has gotten, and you know what, back to the Jimmy Butler days, fans came back out. This again proves this is a great basketball town and always has been if you give them something.
You know what it is? It's funny how you can kind of take each Minnesota of the main four men's sports teams, you know, that have been around the longest. They all have the fan bases have different personalities, even if a lot of people are fans of those same teams. Where I feel like the Twins fan base is a little bit skeptical and I don't know if jaded's the right word, but they're always kind of looking at the cheap ownership, and it's kind of a little engine that could, a little bit of a bandwagon where there's not going to be any fans inside Target Field for the May and June games. But if they start to win, it'll be August, September. Vikings fans are just like, they're hopeful, but they're also guarded. It's six decades of emotional damage. And so a lot of fans are just like bracing for whatever it is. And you know, Wild fans, I think, are starting to, although they've been playing better lately after making the coaching change, but there's a certain personality to Wild fans. Timberwolves fans are some of the most self-aware, smartest, celebratory, joyous fans. There's no, even with how much of a beating you've taken as a fan, right? How many bad decisions ownership has made and bad drafts and all this stuff. It's like people just show up. I'm here. I'm at Target Center. Let's go. I don't know. There's just like a joyousness and a high IQ nature to Timberwolves fans inside Target Center. They feel different right now to me.
Oh, they are. Yeah. And I also think that the NBA, not surprisingly at all, draws a lot of younger fans. So like it skews younger. I mean, basketball is a great sport too, because it's what, 2 hours? Like, you know, it's not a hard sport to watch. And so I feel like a lot of young fans gravitate towards that. You know, I actually think, and I got pushback from a couple of folks on this when we discussed this like a month ago, but I actually think that the clientele in Target Center, because it's not a swanky place, is more fun. Like, I think if you take the Timberwolves and you build them an arena, you know, in the suburbs, and now tickets go sky high, I don't think you can. I think the clientele changes. Yeah. It's like to a certain degree the Wild games. It's an incredibly expensive thing to go to. I feel like it's families and corporations. I feel like the Wolves is more, let's buy some Wolves tickets, right? And people go. And that's more fun. I mean, hell, the Twins Blue Jays game were great fun, not because of the people who go all the time. And you know, I will never begrudge, and I don't begrudge, especially like young fans who say, that looks like fun. Let's do it.
I want to have some fun. Yeah.
Don't you think the Wolves like are drawing that type of crowd right now? It doesn't feel like a glitzy crowd. It doesn't feel like a super rich crowd. It feels like a really good mix.
It is. It's just a bunch of people that are that are having fun for the first time in like 20 years, fun at this level, and a bunch of people that are looking around at anyone else on the outside saying, well, wait a second, let's see what happens in a couple months. Let's see what happens in April. It's like, why? Okay, well, we will see what happens in a few months, but this is super fun right now. And we're going to have a ton of fun right now in December.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
And I'm fine with skepticism if you have a history of like if the Wolves now go 3 years, right? And they're really good. And they keep get and they do what the Wild's done, which is get bounced first round. Then I get it, right? It's like, okay, let's wait. This team, absolutely not. And I do think that there has been a lot of basketball fans in this state who rightfully so have just sort of shrugged and gave up because it wasn't fun.
Yep.
And now that the team is good, they're back. But when you've given fans the amount of crap that the Wolves have, I ain't going to blame the fans for saying, tell me when you're good. And now they're good.
Correct. Yep. So I've got three Wolves takes for you here. Phil's Wolves takes.
Okay.
To get us through the second half of this episode. We'll start with this one. The day the Wolves traded D'Lo for Mike Conley, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and second-round picks is the day this franchise got serious. Serious about actually contending. I will preface, like, D'Lo was a big part of going from being like a 25-30 win team to being a play-in team, and he was needed for that step. But I saw this quote, and he played pretty well last night, too, in LeBron's absence.
He plays pretty well. So yeah.
Now, of course, the night against Chicago, the first night of the back-to-back, he went like 1-for-6 for like 4 points or something ridiculous.
Yep.
But I saw this quote from Lakers Daily on Twitter, LakersDaily.com. Oh, it's blue check mark. So I don't know. We'll take it for what it is. D'Angelo Russell, when asked about his defense, quote, "That's where I try to be better, but that's not what I do." Mm-hmm. That's not what I do. Mm-hmm. You don't want that in your culture. Wolves culture, Heat culture. That's not what I do. And he was actually like pretty handsy. He had a few steals last night. Like, he's not a terrible defender all the time. But man, you hear that if you're a front office guy, if you're Anthony Edwards over here or LeBron James over there, do you really want one of your key players saying, you know what? Defense is great. I'll try to be better, but I don't really do defense.
Right.
It's not really a thing that I do.
Right.
You'll never hear that from Mike Conley. He's not the greatest defender, but you'll never hear Mike Conley be like, I don't really do defense. You know, I'll pass the ball, shoot some threes. So it's like D'Lo is an unserious player if your goal is to contend. Mike Conley, I know he's never won a championship. Mike Conley is a serious adult franchise leading point guard. And you saw it again last night.
I think in some ways for the Wolves especially, but I mean, hell, the entire league, the Conley trade is going to end up being one of the more interesting, instructive things, because I don't remember, I'm trying to think in sports, and I don't remember a trade, because the Gobert trade, you know, for certainly a lot of last season didn't look like it was working out well. And it was like, you know, there's missing pieces here, right? It's like they did a double album, and the Gobert trade was part one, but then they took some time to do part two, and that was the Conley trade with the same team. Mm-hmm. And that, like, you know, in karma, put the whole thing together perfectly.
Yeah,
the Gobert trade didn't stand by itself, and Mike Conley did. But the other thing too here is this. This is the, and this is not surprising to say, but this is why professional sports and sports in general with real human beings is not fantasy sports, right?
Yeah.
So like you're not I'll take D'Angelo Russell. He's a pretty good player and I'm going to put him on this team. Well, if you statistically accrue your points to try to win your league, okay, that might work. But locker rooms are real and chemistry is real. And I think we sometimes forget that in our excitement about names and about star power, right? But like, you look at what happens in a locker room when it's galvanized, when the people get along, when, as you've said, Phil, there's an adult in the room And that's where this whole thing, to me, goes over the top. What Conley brings on the floor is awesome, and he does a great job. But more importantly, it's what he brings from a almost father figure standpoint, which coaches can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, coaches can do all they can do, but they can't, they don't have the ability. Players are going to listen to players.
And players build culture.
Yes.
Coaches can set up, they yes. can set up systems, and they can preach culture. But if the players aren't leading the culture, then there is no culture.
Correct.
And I can't remember if it was Kyle or somebody else. I saw this tweet last night after the game, and that with that trade, I mean, think about that. You traded 2 months of D'Lo's contract for Mike Conley, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, the second round assets that wind up getting you Leonard Miller, who's going to be a rotation guy probably starting next year. And Mike Conley winds up being essentially the cheat code to unlock Rudy Gobert, which has opened up this whole new world offensively, defensively, which brings me to my second Wolves take here. Oh, by the way, one more thing on Conley. So 51 games of Mike Conley. He's played all 51 games since the trade, all the back-to-backs, everything. And the Wolves are 33-18 in those games. It's pretty good.
I also would say this about him. I'm not sure now playing wise, what you said is probably right, but I'm not sure that Gobert is the only player he's unlocked.
Oh no. No, it's in fact, if you look
it runs deep
at some of the lineup combinations, I mean, he's unlocking Anthony Edwards more than anyone has. You could argue he's unlocking Jade McDaniels in some ways, like setting him up for shooting threes. But let me take you to my second take here, because we talk about unlocking Gobert, and it's not just Conley. Like, it's everything. It's him being around. It's him feeling healthier. You know, him going into a darkness retreat for 3 days and finding himself mentally, whatever he had to do. But my second take is, it's official. The Cat and Gobert pairing absolutely works. Now that you've given those guys a full year, like a full calendar year. Cat missed 50 games, but they got all the kinks ironed out. They brought Mike Conley in as part of this puzzle. And we've gone over some of these lineup combo stats before. Last year in the playoffs and the regular season, when Cat and Gobert were on the court together, and they have to be for like 20 minutes a game, because they're going to start together. They're probably going to finish together, and they're going to play together in the middle for chunks of time too. Like, you can't avoid it. Those guys have to be on the court. And the Wolves lost those minutes by some, I don't have it in front of me, it was like a minus 5 points per 100 possessions or something when those guys were on the court. So for the first year, they were literally like hanging on for dear life when those guys were on the court together. Just don't lose those minutes by a ton, and let's make it up on the other side when we start going with other lineup combinations, which always kind of felt like, boy, can you do that with these two guys? Like, your two highest paid players, can you just hang on for dear life? No, they have to thrive for this to work. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are, 26 games into the season. When Gobert and Cat are on the court at the same time, which has been 568 total minutes this year, it's a lot of minutes, the Wolves are a plus 11 points per 100 possessions. It's like a 16-point swing per 100 possessions compared to last year. It works. It's and Gobert and Cat playing off each other, players finding Gobert for lobs. Defensively, Cat has stepped up his game. They work together. They're not just trying to fight through those minutes to maybe break even. They're drastically outscoring teams per 100 possessions when those guys are on the court together.
That lob against the Heat that Cat made to Gobert was incredible. Like, that was an incredible play. I don't know how he saw that, but he did, and it's a great play. I think Gobert deserves credit because it feels like he is not, and being healthy helps a ton, but it also feels like he's not fighting things now. Like, he just didn't seem comfortable last season. He seems very comfortable now, but I think the majority of the credit here goes to Cat. It's almost like Cat realized fully how good he can be, because he's a tremendous talent. Like, that's the frustrating thing when he's whining and not playing as well as he can. It's like, dude, you have more talent in your pinky than some of your teammates do in their entire body. And it's now like Cat has come to the conclusion of embracing that. And again, I think something happened. I think that there was some shift after that Celtics game where somebody either got to him or he came to his own realization. Mm-hmm. Because to me, you know, and we were both at that game. That game was a monumental disappointment on a night that was a lot of fun and the Wolves played great. He looked miserable.
Yeah. Everybody in the arena was having fun and thriving and dominating. And it was like, wow, he's
miserable. And you know, since then he has sort of joined the fun. And my God, when you're that talented, you should. So it has, I think you probably, a lot of people deserve credit here, but those two now, when you watch them, it is fun. And I love on the cat front too. Not sure about you, but I mean, I love watching him utilize his skill set as a whole.
Yeah. You could argue since that Boston game. So if we include last night, and last night he went for, you know, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. It wasn't his best game, you know, 7 for 17. He wasn't the most efficient from the floor. It was another good game in which he only had 3 fouls, didn't turn the ball over. Like, he was fine, played some defense. But in the 21 games since that Boston game we talk about, where, and Kyle and I talked about this yesterday, but he scored 7 points in that game and had 13 combined fouls and turnovers. It was one of the worst games of his career, probably. And he just looked like he couldn't find a fit. And we had a bunch of discussions, not just us, but all around sort of, you know, Wolvesville. Does he fit? Is this going to work? Are they going to have to? Dude, the next game, 9 for 12, 23 points, efficient shooting, and then all of a sudden things start to click. So 21 games since that Boston game now. I think it's the best 21-game stretch of his career. I'm not saying you can probably find better numbers over 21 games, maybe on some worse teams.
Right.
But, dude, 21 games, he's been dialed in. He's been having fun. He's been, everything seems to be clicking for him. And then the numbers are just ridiculous, dude. 24 points per game, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, a steal. His fouls are down by about a half a foul compared to his average the last couple of years. And he's shooting 56% from the field, 49% from three, and just under 90% from the free throw line. And he's playing really good defense. It's the most joyous and the best, most efficient basketball that we've seen him play in probably 2 or 3 years or maybe 5 years.
In watching the Wolves now, and especially because of what you just talked about with Carl, it's the first time in a long time everyone on the floor looks like a professional. Everybody looks like a professional. Like, and I think that's probably a Conley tone. That's just my guess.
Gobert too. I think it's Gobert too.
Yeah, Gobert. But everybody, you know, you don't see the meltdowns. I actually thought, I'll tell you this. I actually thought the loss at Philadelphia was impressive, because that would have been an easy, this game's gotten away from us. Yeah, you know, and Embiid's getting all the calls. And I think we can all agree that's a lot. There's a lot of BS there. And previous Wolves teams, and I think a lot of current teams, would have just thrown up their hands and said, the refs are screwing us, we're out. And the Wolves came back in the third quarter and took a lead. Mm-hmm. And yes, they lost, but I don't think in situations like this, with a team like this that's really good, I think the losses can be instructive too. And they are, and that game to me, they remain professional. And you're going to lose, and they lost. And yes, on Embiid, I think they got screwed. I think there were some terrible calls. But previous Wolves teams would have gotten teed up consistently, not just a couple. They probably would have gotten 5 tees, and they would have been, you know, and you would have seen the old Carl, shoulders hanging, right? Head hanging down.
Yeah.
So I actually took that Sixers loss as a pretty instructive and impressive sign of how much this team has matured, despite the fact they didn't win it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think it was a repeatable formula to win a game if those teams played a 7-game series. I don't think you would see Maxey and Embiid are awesome. Like, one of the best 1-2 punches in the NBA for sure. And Embiid is one of the 3 or 4 best players in the league. Are those guys going to combine for 86 points or whatever it was in game 2 of the 7-game series? Is he really going to shoot 18, 20 free throws? I mean, in a playoff series, I'd love to see those teams in a 7-game series. That's all I'll say.
But now you're talking about the most fun thing, because I thought about this, and not that those two teams are going to meet in the finals, because the Wolves will probably play the Celtics. but here's what I thought of too, and this is what's fun in hockey as well. In a 7-game series where you're serious, so I'm not talking about a play-in team that's not that great. When you're serious in a 7-game series, what are going to be the forces on both sides as far as a game plan goes? Because it's, you know, it's potentially seven games, right? Mm-hmm. Couple of things occurred to me. The Embiid thing. So first of all, if I'm going up against an Embiid type of guy in a playoff series, I need somebody who can foul him and really foul him. Because if you're going to flop in a playoff series, and I'm not talking cheap shots, but you got to have somebody who can get their money's worth, because I think he'd start to whine. And if you distract him, it's a huge win, right? So like if he's mad, if he doesn't get a couple of calls, or let's say he actually gets, I'm not talking a touch foul, but from the Wolves standpoint, what are they going to do when teams try and goad Carl and Gobert into foul trouble like mm-hmm. the Sixers did? Like, these are the type of things in a playoff that I think are going to be fascinating to watch.
It is, yeah. And like you said, we wouldn't see those teams in a seven-game series unless it was the NBA Finals. And yeah, unfortunately, Philadelphia less likely to get there than the Timberwolves right now.
It's going to be the Celtics and Wolves for the McHale Cup.
Oh.
Injected. Forget the LOB. It's going to be the McHale Cup.
Injected into my mind. Or could it be the Marcus Banks Cup? Or the Sebastian, could be the Sebastian Telfair Cup.
Telfair, I always like that name.
Sebastian. The Mark Blunt Cup.
Oh my God! Yeah,
it's a bunch of names.
Yeah,
I do have one more take for you here, but my main take right now is about Grand Ole Creamery. I want to talk about Grand Ole Creamery because they have delicious, iconic, small batch, handcrafted, ultra premium ice cream. Two locations in the Twin Cities: St. Paul Grand Avenue and Minneapolis Cedar Avenue. 300 flavors with 32 on hand at any given time, 14% butterfat and locally sourced dairy farms from within a 100 mile radius. And just for the holidays, eggnog and winter wonderland flavors at the Grand Avenue location. That's Grand Ole Creamery, which you can also find inside Lund's, Byerly's, Kowalski's, Hy-Vee, and your nearest store, grandolecreamery.com. Eat responsibly and then hit your friends up at Livia. Starting in January, you can change your life.
Yeah, exactly right. Drop all of those unwanted pounds. You know what? If you're sitting on the couch right now and you're thinking January 1st, I got to get my life on track. But, you know, it's hard to get to the gym, right? Like, it's hard to get up and say, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, do not fret, because my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers have you covered with a program that I'm going to tell you right now works. I dropped 40 pounds a couple of years ago. And here's the best part. Livia is not only going to help you drop those unwanted pounds, they're going to help you keep those pounds off. And they're going to do it with a deal as well. You join today, you get your first 8 weeks for free. That's right. I'll say it again. Your first 8 weeks for free. What a deal. This is a place that's been voted the best weight loss program in the state 3 years in a row. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com. Livia.com. There are plenty of people in the Score North family who have tried this. Phil and I have heard back from them. It works. They keep the weight off. You know, I'm talking 30 pounds down for some, 100 pounds, 100 plus pounds down for others. Livia.com. Livia.com.
Get in shape for the playoffs, the playoff run. So, okay, my last Wolves take for you here on this Friday. And we're going to wind down Flagrant House a little bit between the holidays next week. So you're not going to see nearly the volume of Flagrant Howls episodes while we all take a breather. But if anything big happens, we will be on standby, but we're going to hit you with a bunch more episodes out of the gate in January. But my third take is Anthony Edwards has become such a great playmaker. How many times again last night, like his ability now to understand, and he's having fun with it. You can tell like he's kind of seeing the game at a different level, drawing a defender in, you know, doing like sort of the between the legs. I'm going to take you one-on-one. A defender comes into double team and boom, quick pass to the corner. Jade McDaniels, Mike Conley, right? Finding open teammates.
Yep.
And the numbers are going up with this new court vision. So here are his assists per game by season. Rookie year, 2.9. Second year, 3.8. Last year, 4.4. This year, up to 5.1 assists per game, over 5 assists per game. So just,
wow.
Watching him become, and he's also averaging, you know, 5.5 rebounds, a steal and a half, 25 points a game. Watching him just become this all around playmaker, looking to get opportunities for teammates and recognizing the attention that he draws as an offensive threat. you know, it is, it's, and there's probably another level or two as he, cause he's not even like at the peak of his prime yet. He's like emerging into his basketball prime this year.
He's maturing as a player for sure though.
Mm-hmm. As a player.
Yes. As a player.
Little work
yes.
to do on the
as a person.
Human side. Yeah. Yeah.
He's gotta, well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different thing, but as far as people who said, will his off the court problems become a distraction as we currently know them? My answer is no, not at all. We can judge him morally all we want. I don't personally think that's my job, but as a player, he is maturing. And as a player, he is seeing people in the locker room who are mature. And so, yes, it is fun. It is fun to watch this whole thing click, and it is definitely clicking. And the thing about Ant too is, and this is, I think this has been true from day one. I think that there have been times when he tries to do too much, but I don't think it's a D'Lo thing, which mm-hmm. is I want mine. I think it was, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do yet thing, which he's getting past now. And you know, that was the biggest thing. And that's a basketball thing too. It's a sports thing where you do have your guys who want theirs. And then you have guys who are potential star players who just don't understand how to use their teammates as much. And yes. it's very clear that Ant is doing that.
But he understands. I mean, it's like a, you know, it's like a jazz band or something where if it's just you trying to get your solo in all the time, well, the rest of the band's going to get resentful or they're not going to be ready when it's their time. And he kind of understands, like, if I can in and around getting my own stuff in, and of course I'm going to dribble up and just pull up once in a while, cause I can, and make those shots. And he did it a couple times last night. He's like, I'll take this contested three in a big moment to create some space. He also understands if he can get like other guys open looks and feeling good, yep. you know, go play your little trumpet solo over here, come back over his trombone over there.
Well, Ant is without question, no matter what he does, the lead singer in the band, right? Conley's on drums cause he keeps the beat.
Sure.
So he's a drummer.
And Cat's like the guitar soloist who's like he's the best guitar player in the band. Yep. You know, once in a while.
Colbert's on bass. He's just on bass. He's playing the bass.
What's Shake Milton been on? He's like tambourine, but just like
he's the roadie.
He adds it to the wrong
song. The roadie now. What's Jaden? So if
Jaden's the enforcer, man. Jaden's the guy with sunglasses standing at the edge of the stage, basically.
He's gonna kick some ass if he has to. Yeah. I like it. I like the Wolves as a band. Quiet.
So there you go. There's some Wolves takes for you, and we'll see. We'll see if this town's ready for a deep playoff run. We're still 4 months away.
On Christmas Day next year, 2024, are you going to be at Target Center? Because I'm pretty sure the Wolves will get one of the five games, and I don't think they've ever played a Christmas Day game at home. They've played two or three. I think two on the road. Yeah.
I could see it being at Target Center, a winter wonderland, and yes, I will be there.
Along I love with the idea.
18,000 screaming Wolves fans in Santa suits.
Nothing like getting out of the house on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's your Flagrant Howls for this Friday here. The OG Timberwolves guy, Judd. Kyle back in the mix, maybe once during the holidays, but for sure back firing out of the gate after the first of the year. Is that the Zach LaVine bobblehead right there?
He's not
trade rumors about him.
He is not. Well, did you see the Bulls? I saw the Bulls play-by-play guy, and this is no mistake, basically put out how much the players are enjoying this now and how the team's a team, and guess he's not playing.
Yeah, well, they smoked the Lakers two nights ago without, I think Zach was not playing in that game. So he'll wind up on some other team, I'm sure. He's a good guy. I think it's just, he's putting us, this is what's happened. It's like, he needs to be like the third guy on a team. And he's just in a spot mm-hmm. that's not mm-hmm. working for him. But there you go. Flagrant Howls, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast here on Score North.